Welcome to the Inside NU podcast. I'm Gordon Voigt, your host here on the inaugural edition of our radio show here. Talking with the Inside NU guys, we have Kevin Trahan here, the founder, CEO, chief. What are your other titles, Kevin?
I don't know. I'm the same as Chris, whatever Chris is. So
that Chris would be Chris Johnson. Chris, good to have you aboard.
Good to have you guys here. I'm excited to get this whole, you know, the audio side of the site going. You guys have seen our work before online.
We are expanding into all of the media now, as you can tell. And finally, we have Jonah Rosenblum, a former Daily Northwestern veteran here now working for the Sun-Times Media Group. Jonah, thank you for gracing us with your presence.
Please. But it's great to be here. It's a lot of fun. And I guess I want to have a title, too, so I'll be the Chief Financial Officer of Inside.
CFO.
CFO.
Okay.
That's the last name Rosenblum. It goes with the title.
Well, speaking of financial matters, let me ask you this. What does it mean that my salad tonight cost $6.66?
As the CFO of Inside Northwestern, I'd say it got ripped off.
Is that a bad omen, guys, though, that we have this kind of this ghoulish number hanging over our heads for this inaugural podcast?
Well, we'll see in 10 minutes. I mean, we'll see what happens. It could very well be.
Okay, here's what's going to happen, guys. We're going to break down three different topics here. We're going to go three burning questions off the bat, then talk about Big Ten Coach of the Year candidates. Finally, we'll have our drive around the Big Ten, and then we'll give you a little preview of our exclusive interview with Northwestern center Shir Ajoh. I got a chance to sit down with him on Thursday, so I hope you guys will enjoy that. First of all, let's toss it off to Kevin. Kevin, what's your burning question right now?
Well, I guess the biggest issue for me, well, first looking into the Nebraska game, obviously guard play was sort of an issue. So Belusky had a nice game. He had 21 points. But I guess looking into the Michigan game, guard play is really the biggest thing that I'm looking at. Last time, Trey Burke, he had something like, I think it was 13 points in the first 5 minutes. And Northwestern was down 16-4 in the first 5 minutes and obviously could never recover and got blown out by like 30 points. So I think that will be that's the biggest thing I'm looking at. We talked to Carmody today, and he said the biggest issue he thought with Burke is last year Burke was a great – he was a great player, but the one biggest problem with him is he wasn't a great shooter. And this year they found out the hard way that he is a great shooter now, and they were kind of going underneath screens, trying to make him shoot threes. And he had like four of them in the first 5 minutes, as I said. So there's really no way to contain Trey Burke. Carmody said, he's like, what do? Just give him 30 points and hope everyone else hits zero. Obviously, that's not the best strategy. But it's going to be interesting to see. I think Burke, you know, as Carmody said, will get his 20. But it'll be interesting to see how Northwestern can defend the other guards. Hardaway Jr., who had 21 last time these two teams played. And Nick Stauskas, who has been outstanding this year. So I think we'll see. The perimeter defense will be really important, especially closing out the shot clock at the end of the shot clock, and making Michigan work for their shots. If they're giving them open looks, Michigan's probably maybe the best shooting team in the nation, and it's going to be hard to stop them unless the defense is stellar.
Chris Johnson is chomping at the bit right now. Chris, is guard play the single biggest issue for Northwestern?
Gordon, hate to correct you.
Champing at the bit.
Champing.
CHAMP. I was pronouncing it with a long A sound.
Okay, I just didn't want my
thank you.
You know, journalism professor to thank you or something.
Believe me, AP style fresh in my mind.
Good to know. Sorry about that, Chris. Go ahead. Now he's going to champ my head off. So.
I'm not going to do that, but I will talk a little bit about Michigan. I think right now you can argue that they're the best team in the country. Obviously, the AP poll came out today, and then Michigan was on top of it. And yeah, Kevin, you mentioned guard play. I mean, Michigan's guards are excellent. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, he's 6'6". Stauskas likewise. And then you talk so much about Burke, and you know, those guys have been excellent all year. And then when you combine that with Jordan Morgan and Mitch McGarry down low, they really have it all. Their offense is just they can beat you in so many ways. And what's interesting about Michigan is that they've really improved defensively this year, and that's been key for them. So Northwestern is definitely gonna have a tough time on his hands. We saw what Michigan did at Welsh Ryan this year, and it's just gonna be that much harder to beat them at Chrysler. I think guard play is huge. I mean, if you can get Dave Sabluski going, if you can get, Reggie Hearn in double figures, if you can get some production from Trey Demps, that's going to help. But, you know, the point I wanted to bring up was kind of more looking back into the past. You know, over the past, you know, three games before the Nebraska game on Sunday, we saw some really good things from Northwestern. I mean, they knocked off Illinois and Champaign. Now, you know, Illinois, this is not the same Illinois team that we saw earlier in the year.
No, it's not. I can personally vouch for you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, they're not shooting well of late. But still, that's a very nice win in Champaign. And then they really pushed Indiana at home, thanks to some great 1-3-1 defense in the second half. They really gave Indiana a scare. That's the number two team in the country. And then, obviously, they beat Minnesota, which was a really nice win. And again, Minnesota's also struggling right now, too, but that's still a great win. Losing to Nebraska hurts, obviously. There was a lot of momentum building for Northwestern over those three games, and, you know, this Nebraska loss, and that kind of saps away a lot of that positive vibe, because, you know, Nebraska's probably one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the Big Ten. So how do you guys, you know, what do you guys think that means for Northwestern?
Well, I wouldn't, you know, I certainly wouldn't hit the panic button yet, and I saw Dave Sobolewski's quote about how, you know, he was trying to point out that he didn't think the team necessarily played down to Nebraska, and it's not like they didn't take them seriously. I think this is what you expect. I mean, this is obviously a young team. It's a team without a proven elite player who you can rely on for points in a slump. And guys like Reggie Hearn and Jared Swapshire, they're very good at driving to the hoop at times, but I don't think either of them has proven themselves as a consistent threat in the Big Ten. Sobolewski's obviously undersized. They don't have a consistent interior presence to go to. So, I mean, I think you're going to take your lumps, and I don't think this is necessarily that they didn't take Nebraska seriously. What I saw is that they simply, you know, Nebraska got on a big run in front of the home crowd. The stadium got loud, and Northwestern just kind of fell out of the contest slowly. You know, I think, as you said, Chris, a lot of good things have happened this year, and I don't think those should be, you know, overshadowed by this one loss. And I would actually argue, I think, for Northwestern, the most encouraging thing has been Sobolewski's growth. I think he has turned into an elite point guard to some level. I think he's kind of reminds me a bit of Michael Juice Thompson now, who played at Northwestern before him, obviously. He's very undersized, but he's kind of fearless in the way he drives to the hoop. And I don't think he's quite there yet in terms of hitting clutch shots. And I think Sobolewski, my question for Michigan, I mean, really the rest of the season. I mean, Michigan, sure, but I don't think they're going to beat Michigan. But my question for Dave Sobolewski is, can he be a consistent take-it-to-the-rack type guy? Because that's what Michael Juice Thompson was. Every time Northwestern needed points, especially when they had teams that didn't necessarily have the talent, Michael Juice Thompson would step up and take it to the hoop. And I think Sobolewski needs to do that more. But the talent is there, and he's finishing a lot better this year. And I think that's been an encouraging sign. And I think there's certainly a lot in the last couple of weeks to look, you know, to look at positively, and I don't think Nebraska takes that away.
Well, and Gordon, before you jump in, one thing I wanted to say is I was reading, I guess, Big Ten Geeks. If you guys don't read that, it's on BTN.com. It's great.
Yeah.
And they did something on the best defensive player in the Big Ten, which
great article.
Yeah, everyone always seems to think is Aaron Kraft, but and he's a great defender. But actually, by the numbers, it said that Jordan Morgan on Michigan is actually the best defensive player by the numbers in the Big Ten this year. Which we'll see how that goes. Obviously, he's not one of their, you know, top five stars, maybe their fifth star, I don't know. But that should be interesting to see how he does inside and see if Northwestern can do anything inside, because they haven't for a really long time.
And actually, just one last thing I'd like to add on to that. I'd like to see where Alex Ola stacks up on that list, because I have to say, I mean, another thing I'm looking for against Michigan and really against anyone is I thought Ola led a lot of guys behind him. And I think he's a big improvement over Luka Mirkovic defensively on the interior, but he's still letting guys slip behind him and get post position. And obviously he's a freshman, so you got to be kind of reasonable in your expectations. But I think some of the elite teams in this conference are going to obviously exploit that in the meanwhile.
Yeah, and that's actually a very interesting metric there. I read the same article, Kevin. And one thing that's interesting is there's some debate over, does it give bias toward people who rebound on the defensive glass particularly well? But then the counter argument that they brought up is, well, if you get a defensive rebound earlier than the average player, then that is a de facto stop because you are limiting the other team's possession. You're shorting off. Another interesting thing, Mitch McGarry's on the list too. I mean, this is a Michigan team that is a diametric opposite to what we saw last year. I went to the Illinois-Michigan game last year. This is a completely different team. I know that goes without saying. But just the fact that they have this inside toughness. I mean, last year, Jordan Morgan was really just a poor man's Michael Sweetney. I mean, honestly. And now, all of a sudden, he's an enforcer, and it's pretty incredible. I don't know what John Beilein did. There's something happened there. He flicked the switch. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just a testament to how good this team is that we've gone this whole podcast without even mentioning Glenn Robinson.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that kid's incredible. If you just watch him play, he's going to put, you know, he's going to throw down at least one highlight dunk every single game. And he's just really a great player. My view with Michigan kind of is that, you know, it's the same basic system that Beilein's been running. He's made a few tweaks, and he just has better players. Like, you know, last year he had guys like Zach Novak, a 6'4 guard playing power forward, and now he has Glenn Robinson III and you know, Mitch McGarry and Jordan Morgan. And, you know, like you said, pretty much an entirely remade Jordan Morgan. And, I mean, this team is just, they're rolling right now. And, I mean, you can make an argument for Indiana, but I think right now they're the best team in the Big Ten and quite possibly the best in the country. So it's definitely going to be a tough out for Northwestern.
Okay, I'm going to throw this out there, guys. And again, don't think that I'm biased towards the Champaign contingency. This team reminds me a lot of Illinois' 2005 team. And not just because they've got this number one ranking. I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of a brainy system. There's, you know, obviously a lot of ball movement. You can't have blockheads run this system. John Beilein reminds me a lot of Bruce Weber in a lot of ways, just in the fact that he likes kind of the glorified grinder. On this team, I mean, look, Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Nick Skousas, who's an awesome freshman if you haven't got a chance to see him play. That reminds me a lot of Luther Head, Darren Williams, and D. Brown. I mean, honestly, Glenn Robinson III, right now he's playing a lot like Roger Powell did toward the end of his career. I mean, there's actually a lot of similarities. Mitch McGarry, I mean, I look at him, and he's a James Augustine to me at this point in his career. I mean, he has a much higher ceiling than Augustine does, in my opinion. But these similarities are it's almost eerie to me, because this team is perfect for Beilein's system, and it's the same exact sort of star alignment that we saw with 2005 with Illinois.
Well, just throw in this disclaimer real quick. Gordon is an Illinois alum. He's in grad school right now at Medill, and he's from Wilmette, so he grew up following Northwestern. So he knows Illinois' Big Ten teams that are upstate and downstate fairly well. So, yeah, Jonah.
I just think one big question also about Michigan that's going to be really interesting is whether they have the time to develop. I mean, obviously in the Big Ten, it has not traditionally been a one-and-done conference, but I think with Michigan's talent and with these three freshmen and all these top 100 guys they're now bringing in, it'll be very interesting to see if these are the types of guys that will stick around for a couple of years and, you know, we'll get to see them grow, as you mentioned, those Illinois teams.
And like Burke, I mean, Burke stayed second year. No one thought, and it worked out. He's better now.
Yeah.
Than he was last year.
All right, guys, there you have it. The first segment, does it feel like we got the monkey off our back now?
A little bit. I mean, we haven't quite torn it to bits like the football team did, but we could. Next topic we will.
Yeah. Okay, so you have your three burning questions there. Big Ten Coach of the Year. Now, this is one that very different candidates than we would have predicted at the beginning of the season. What do you guys think so far? I think Tom Crean would have been head and shoulders the favorite pick at the beginning of the year, just in the sense that it's kind of like a vending machine, you know, just put in the quarters and it's just going to run like you expect. What do you guys think? Who's your favorite right now?
Well, what's your point, Gordon, as Tom Crean might say?
Well, I'd say you can't pick Tom Crean because he's mean to our very own Chris Johnson. I mean,
hey.
You know, he yelled at the guy. I'm not going to pick a, you know.
I've had much more pleasant interactions with him before, so I think it's just his defensive side was coming out there, but
Well, Shrine Arena does have a very uncomfortable press conference, so maybe he's upset about that. But I would say, for me, I mean, on the subject we were talking about, I'd say John Beilein is right now my coach of the year. And I was thinking about Tubby Smith earlier this year, but obviously Minnesota's kind of gone into a free fall, and Minnesota has such exceptional talent that, you know, it's disappointing what Tubby Smith has gotten out of them recently. But I'd say John Beilein, I mean, just the way this program's been built, I mean, you have these three top 100 freshmen who are coming in contributing right away. And, you know, Glenn Robinson was a steal. I mean, he got Glenn Robinson before he was the highly touted recruit that he became. And the fact that Beilein brought him to Ann Arbor and obviously Purdue family roots, I mean, that's impressive that he got him up there. And I think you look at Beilein, and they're going to be good for a long time. I mean, they've got three top 100 recruits in their next class. And they've got, I think, the number five small forward, the number five point guard. I mean, this is going to be a program that could be good for a long time. And I don't think we would have thought Michigan basketball was going to reach this point 5 years ago.
And I think something that's interesting, too, is you bring up the recruiting bit. John Beilein is an incredible out-of-state recruiter, and that's something that he's really solidified. I know Michigan is an international brand, like Brady Hoke likes to say. But I mean, the fact is that he didn't have to go to South Florida to get a player. He didn't have to go. I mean, in the old days, Michigan would go to Flint. They would go to Detroit, and they would just recruit within the state borders. This is a team of people from all over the country. I mean, Al Horford's younger brother, John, who got a little bit of action last week. He's obviously plays sparingly. But, I mean, this is a truly diverse team from all over the country. And that's something that I think is the true mark of a good coach, that he doesn't have to. I mean, you look at Kansas, Bill Self. I mean, these international, national programs. I just think that I'm really impressed with how he's been able to recruit like that.
Hey, Zach Urban's from Fishers, Indiana, and I mean, they got him over Indiana. That's always impressive. Also, for you Northwestern women's basketball fans out there, Fishers, Indiana, hometown of Beth Marshall, your former point guard. Anyway, moving on.
Okay. So after that women's basketball announcement,
I'll try to sneak those in.
They beat Indiana today, which Indiana is very bad at basketball, but they won a game.
They're up 50-29. They could still blow it.
I guess so. My coach of the year, I would say Tom Izzo, because I didn't expect Michigan State to be that good. I think to me there were a lot of guys in there who had a lot of potential. Everyone expected him to be good this year. I didn't know. I mean, he was fine last year. But he's improved a lot this year. Appling is a guy who Izzo has kept trying to get him to improve. And
21 points in the loss against Indiana on Sunday.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, he's never really had that leadership mentality, and he's not even a captain. I don't know. Maybe he got moved up to captain after the whole Adrian Payne, Brandon Dawson fight deal. That's another example of an improvement. And also Gary Harris has been phenomenal. And obviously everyone likes to talk about Michigan's freshmen, but Gary Harris has been very good. And obviously all these guys are talented players. They're expected to do well. And I mean, there's a reason that a lot of coaches that get a ton of top talent don't win Coach of the Year. It's because people would rather see someone who develops players. And I would think that, like, at the beginning of the year, I would have said, maybe Queen would have won, but I would have said, like, Fran McCaffrey would be a strong candidate for Coach of the Year just because it's a team that's sort of, like, on the rise. It's whatever they say. I like Izzo. I think that Michigan State has proven that they're, I think right now, I mean, I was high in Minnesota for a while, but they're clearly not doing so well. So I think Michigan State might be the third best team in the Big Ten right now.
Real quick, Kevin, I'm going to jump in there. Sorry, that was Gary Harris, 21 points. My question to you is, do you think that they have that emotional leader like they have with Draymond Green?
I mean, probably not to the same extent, no. I mean, Appling's not going to do that. Knicks isn't going to do that. But this team is deeper than last year's team was. Last year's team, and that was part of the problem why they couldn't go anywhere in the tournament, was they just didn't have the depth. This team, I don't think, is going to go to the Final Four. Maybe not. Maybe the Elite Eight, maybe, but I'm really impressed with what Izzo's done and how much that team has grown since the beginning of the year.
And hey, if they don't have that same on-court leadership, that might just be a further tribute to Izzo. I mean, maybe this year requires him to do more of Draymond Green out, and maybe he has to be the voice, and maybe that's further credit, not to argue against myself.
But. Well, and here's another thing, too, is the fact that Michigan State could be even deeper if Corey Lucius hadn't gotten kicked off the team. For those of you who don't know, Corey Lucius transferred to Iowa State, where he's averaging 10 and 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big deal.
Also he got into a Twitter fight with fans the other day, or telling fans that they don't believe in him or something like that when they lost to Texas Tech, so that was nice. But anyways, Chris?
No, yeah, I like both your – I mean, I definitely like Michigan State. I mean, they've done a lot with, after losing Draymond Green. The one thing I will say is that I'd like to see Appling play off the ball a little bit more. I don't think he's a natural point guard, and you mentioned Gary Harris. I think he could play that role. I'm going to go – I don't know, this might be a surprise pick. I'm going to take Bo Ryan at Wisconsin. I'm really impressed with what he's done this year, given the circumstances. I mean, Jordan Taylor was so pivotal to everything that they did last year. You can say that this is a system team, but, if you don't run a system, are you a good team anyway? Beyond losing Taylor, they also lost Josh Gasser, like, right before the season. He was supposed to be their starting point guard, and that's been a huge loss, but they've just kept going, and they found this kid, Trayvon Jackson, who kind of made the big shot in this weekend's win over Minnesota. It was a controversial shot, but he made it, and so that's a one-point win to add on to what's been a really nice resume that Wisconsin's put together this year. They have what I think is one of the possibly the best conference win of any team in the country so far this year. They won at Indiana. Winning at Assembly Hall these days is really tough. And Wisconsin was able to pull that off. I mean, they beat, they took a few losses in the non-conference, but, I mean, you know, it's Wisconsin. They're going to finish in the top five. This is what we should expect from Bo Ryan, I guess, at this point. But, I mean, given all the talent that, you know, what they lost, like I mentioned, with the two-point guards, it's just I'm surprised that they're still chugging along at this pace.
And, hey, if you were to name a coach of the last half decade, obviously, you know, bigger question. But, I mean, it would have to be Bo Ryan. I mean, maybe he doesn't have spectacular individual years, but, I mean, the talent that he's continued to produce and guys like, I think, Bruce Kowitz, I mean, just guys who you don't expect to really perform, but he just integrates them into the system, as you said. And, hey, there's nothing wrong with running a good system. I mean, Bo Ryan's the best defensive coach in the conference probably, and
yeah,
credit to him, you know.
I mean, he's been here 11 years, and they've never finished below fourth in the Big Ten. That's just it's absolutely incredible.
Bill Carmody's been here 11 years, and he's also never finished below fourth in the I guess not, but there.
In the Illinois State standings, you're talking about, right?
Exactly, right. Yeah.
Well,
UIC passed them.
Right. Yeah. Here's a trivia question, guys. First one to buzz in wins a handshake by me. Who's Trayvon Jackson's dad?
I'm just gonna guess Philip. I don't know. I'm just gonna guess a name.
You guys know. Do we? Jim Jackson.
Oh, he's
BCN
the
BCN analyst, former NBA player.
Oh, I was reading about something. Okay, never mind.
Way to go, Jonah.
I know.
Jim Jackson, the Buckeye, the son who's from Ohio, goes to Wisconsin. I mean, that's pretty interesting.
How did Ohio State recruit him? I mean, you know, that's also. I'm not sure.
I think we could consider a permanent.
Ohio, I think John Gross could have gotten him out of Ohio.
Yeah. All right. So.
Yeah, okay. Guys, let's toss it to number three. First of all, I want to ask you, of the new coaches, we've had a big influx, big turnover after a few mainstays left. Between the newcomers, between Fran McCaffrey, Pat Chambers, John Gross, and Tim Miles, who do you think has done the best job within the past 2 years?
Well, I mean, I don't think we can judge. I actually like Tim Miles a lot, not just because he tweets at halftime. I do love that. But I think Tim Miles is going to do a good job. Chambers had bad luck, and just coaching at Penn State is rough. And we'll see what Gross does. I think he's a good coach, but I also think that he's going to have a rebuilding project after some of these guys leave. And he's done a great job recruiting. Kendrick Nunn, Jalen Tate from Simeon, that's great. I also think McCaffrey, I really do like what he's done there. I followed that program fairly closely for the last, you know, a while. And
lifetime.
Yeah, and
as an objective source, of course. I mean, you're
I think he's done a great job there. I mean, you look at, they start three freshmen right now, and a sophomore and a junior, and their top two bench players are juniors, and they're still on the bubble for NCAA tournament consideration. I mean, next year they'll more than likely be one of the top 16 teams in the conference. And they have this guy coming in, Peter Jock, who's a great player. I like what he's done there, and he's sort of changed around the culture. And when Licklider was there, it was a really boring system like Wisconsin, but they lost. They didn't win like Wisconsin does. So, I mean, that's the recipe for disaster. I like how he's changed the culture.
Caveat.
So, but I mean,
did Licklider's son play for the team? Or?
Yes, little Licklider did play for the team,
and he
went to like a D3 school after Licklider left because, you know, he's terrible. So.
And Ferentz's kid plays for the team too, so must be something.
He's actually good though.
Both of those Ferentz's were good.
So,
Hey, by the way, speaking of Hawkeyes, do you see where Adam Woodbury ranked on that defensive list?
Actually, pretty high.
His only problem is when he tries
to play offense, he doesn't realize where the basket is. So he'll just like try a hook shot and airball it.
Well, he's young. He's young. Give him time.
Better than Ola, right?
How about this? We had this. Or Chris, do you want to jump in there or?
I mean, I saw. Are you talking about on Woodbury?
Yeah. No. Well, Woodbury, but just. Your favorite new hire so far?
Okay, well, I mean, I think it's kind of hard to judge, you know, in the first year, but I think Tim Miles has generated a little bit of excitement around the program, and I know, like, the tweeting thing is kind of a joke, but, I mean, if you're going to generate some attention, like, you know, do whatever you can. I mean, people notice, like, we're talking about it. I think at halftime of the Illinois game the other day, he tweeted about his team. I'm paraphrasing.
He played with no heart.
Yeah. He basically said my team sucked, and like, I mean, it turned a nondescript loss into something newsworthy. So I mean, more power to him. And I know they are, the athletic program is kind of starting to invest in the basketball side of things a little bit. I think they have a new arena coming in 2014. I want to say, you check me on that. And I know they have a. Is the new practice facility up yet, or is it?
Practice facility's up.
Yeah, it looks good too.
I mean, he's made some headway on the recruiting trail as well. So I think that program could be headed in the right direction. And I mean, we saw them beat Northwestern on Saturday. They looked a little better. Can't deny that. So I think they're headed in the right direction. And one thing I want to say with Penn State is that they lost Tim Frazier this year to a torn Achilles.
Yes, a person injury, ish.
Yes. That's like, if there's like one player that means the most to any team in the country, it's Tim Frazier. I mean, he's their everything. And when he comes back next year, they're gonna have a pretty good backcourt with him and Jermaine Marshall. So I think they have a chance to get out of the Big Ten cellar next year, perhaps. Like you said, Chambers is a good coach. So he's
fiery.
Yeah, definitely.
He's been through some real trials and tribulations. I don't know if you guys saw that BTN The Journey last year, but he got stabbed, I want to say, in the head one night when he was out with some friends and got into, you know, a rough part of town. He's been through a lot. He's got a big scar on his head. But
Well, and you said it also, just in terms of his personality on the court. I mean, I love that moment from Saturday's game where I think Northwestern got like two or three offensive rebounds in a possession, and Miles just exploded on the bench. And you know what? You should explode. If you let Northwestern get two offensive rebounds on you, you know, I love that personality. He was screaming at them, and, you know, as the announcer said, he's saying rebounds, rebounds, rebounds. So I love your pick of Miles. I do like the passion he brings. You know, obviously, I think Chambers was put, you know, in a terrible spot. I mean, you can't really judge him on this year. I think Gross is a little bit disappointing, actually, because I think Illinois, I mean, for a new coaching job, that's a lot of talent to inherit. I mean, usually you're inheriting a program in shambles, and he had a lot of guys to work with there.
Although, okay, I will say, okay, so think of it this way, and then I'll be quiet about Illinois here. He may have inherited an Escalade, you know, 09 Escalade. I mean, it's still got a lot of brand appeal. But this is a total lemon of a team, I can assure you. The outside may look good. The inside is just completely rusted. It's leaking. This is a team that I'm convinced that if Mike D'Antoni started coaching this team, that they would still play constipated, I mean, to be honest, on offense. Well, there's no flow. They have no idea how to set each other up, and I could go on for three more hours. But
they lost Myers Leonard, too. I mean, that's a big loss.
Yeah, no, totally, definitely. But, I mean, there's definitely a lot coming behind. Anyway. Moving on here, I would love to touch a little bit more on Nebraska's new arena, but maybe we'll table that for the next podcast. Let's talk about now, let's go drive around the Big Ten. We've all got some big games we're looking forward to. Kevin, you want to start us off here?
Well, mine is next week, and this isn't the biggest game or anything, but it's important for both teams, Minnesota versus Iowa. Iowa lost at Mackey yesterday. They played terribly. It felt like 15% in the first half. And they came back and actually were winning in the last minute, but they lost. And that's, I mean, they can still get to the tournament. They'll still get to 9-9, but they need a marquee win to do it. I mean, they'll get to 9-9 as long as they win the games they're favored in. But I think they also need to upset a team, get to 10-8, because I'm not buying that, oh, 9-9 team can get in just because the Big Ten is good. And I think that game's important for them. It's at the barn, and it's also really important for Minnesota. Minnesota gets Nebraska this week, you know, which they should win, although ask Northwestern about that. But they should win that game. But we'll see what they can do. That's an important game. It's a decent team. If they can beat, they need to be able to beat a decent team at home. I still think they can be like a 4 or 5 seed in the tournament. But they need to turn things around now. They got the talent too. Let's see if they can do it.
You think Iowa can be a 5?
No, Minnesota.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No. Iowa, I don't think is a tournament team. I think maybe if they upset Minnesota or win at the Kohl Center, then they are.
Yeah.
But right now, no.
Before you go, Jonah, I just want to mention one thing. You mentioned Purdue. 11-9 this year, but 4-3 in the Big Ten. I think a little better than people expected.
Schedule's backloaded though.
Yeah,
they're having a tough time getting 500.
No, yeah. I mean, but like you said, Iowa lost there. Mackey Arena is not a place that you want to play.
Illinois lost there.
So, Jonah, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I think it is interesting that you bring up Minnesota, and I mean that game will be interesting to watch because Minnesota has got to find some alternate methods of scoring. I mean, if you told me that Trevor Mbakwe was going to come back and play the way he has, I think he's had 10 rebounds in all 7 conference contests for Minnesota. I mean, he's been effective. He's shooting, I think, 59% this year. If you had told me Trevor Mbakwe, I thought he was the question mark entering the season, how he comes back from injury. He's playing great. But, I mean, Rodney Williams scored 2 points the other night against Wisconsin. Rodney Williams, we all know the talent he has. He's been on the top 10 plays far too often. But it's time for him to step up and become a consistent night-to-night performer in the Big Ten. And, you know, I'm very interested to see the way Minnesota plays because I think I had a stat out Mbakwe and Andre Dre Hollins obviously is a great player, and the two of them had 28 points, 15 rebounds combined. They shot 10 out of 19. The other three starters went 2 out of 22. Minnesota's got to find other methods, and, you know, I'm really interested to see the way Minnesota comes back. So I'll agree with you there, Kevin, because they have the talent, undoubtedly.
How about Purdue? Does that move the needle at all for you guys?
I mean, I don't think they're – I think that Painter's done a great job, and next year they're definitely in tournament contention. This year, though, I mean, the schedule is so backloaded. They've had the easiest, I think, at least a couple of days ago, it was the easiest Big Ten schedule so far. They're probably not – they'll probably finish like 8-10 or 7-11 or something like that. But it's been it's been a good run.
That sounds like a familiar number as a Northwestern fan.
It's probably about – it'll be like what Northwestern did last year. But, I mean, they had too many non-conference losses to terrible teams that they're not going to do it.
But, hey, if you look at Purdue, I mean, as a Northwestern fan, you're going to get to see them up close twice. And for Purdue, those are going to be huge games. I think those – Northwestern is capable of beating Purdue. And if you're looking on Purdue's side in terms of making the tournament, got to win both of those, I'd assume.
Yeah, I think Kevin makes a good point on Purdue next year more. I mean, because – they lost a ton last year. You know, the Robbie Hummel era officially came to an end, and they're pretty young. So the game that I want to talk about this week is not the big game on Sunday, although I think by the time that Michigan and Indiana take the court on Saturday, I think everyone will be zoned in on the 49ers and the Ravens there. But Indiana and Michigan, that could very well be, you know, the biggest conference game of the season in any league. And these teams are going to play twice this year, but, I mean, this is a huge, huge game. It's in Bloomington, so I think, you know, despite Michigan being ranked number one in the AP poll, I think you'd have to give Indiana the edge in this one. But, I mean, that's just a huge game. It's the two best teams in the Big Ten. It's kind of a de facto, you know, king of the Big Ten grudge match. These are just two great offenses. And both teams are highly improved on the defensive end. I'm really excited to see these teams play.
And one final quick note. I think another game that, you know, if you guys are a little bored during the week and you've got your Domino's Double Pizza Tuesday and you don't know what to do while you're eating the pizza, tomorrow night is the big game. You know, Wisconsin at Ohio State. I think both of those teams are really interesting to see. Ohio State still has the cogs. They've got three or four just elite players and
Mostly from Illinois.
So, I mean, I think that is a good game, though, to watch. And obviously those teams played a classic last year. So they always have good matchups. Should be an interesting match.
All right, guys. I think that was a success, huh?
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the listeners think.
But, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. The inaugural Inside Northwestern podcast. Real pleasure to have you listening in here. Join us next week where we will recap the week. Talk about three more burning questions and then have a few more games up our sleeve. Maybe talk to Jonah about the women's team. But, guys, again, thanks so much. I think this was a lot of fun, and we will talk to you later. Also, don't forget to tune into the Sheer Joe interview. I sat down with him on Thursday, like I said. I think you'll look forward to catching up with him after all that press he had in August and the year before on ESPN. So, guys, thanks so much. That's a wrap.